call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:05 p.m. on Friday, March 2nd, 2012. Present today we have Representative Lynn, Representative Keller, Representative Holmes, Representative Hawker. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, sir.
Myself, Representative Thompson, chairing, and Representative Broomberg just came in also. And Chair Representative Gatto has been previously excused. Let's start out with some housekeeping. Make sure you turn off your cell phones. Just putting the vibrate doesn't work in this room because it still can interfere with the recording equipment. All right. Today we have one bill, House Bill 229. It's the Big Game Commercial Services Bill, HB 229, an act relating to activities including violations and penalties under the supervision of the Big Game Commercial Services Board. This is sponsored by Representative Eric Feige, and pardon? Yes, come forward. Representative Feige's aide will Mike Purcell, Pishkal. Slaughtered.
Thank you for calling.
Wow. Okay, maybe we'll have a second.
We'll take a brief at ease till we get everybody back online. Back up, and we'll continue. Mike, if you'd place yourself on the record and introduce the bill, I'd appreciate it.
For the record, Michael Pascal, staff to Representative Feige, and Representative Feige apologizes for not being available today, but he is chairing resources in the adjoining room at the same time. What you have before you, House Bill 229, was developed at the request of the Big Game Commercial Services Board through their meetings and identifying issues with statute that causes difficulty for them in trying to administer the licensing of big game guides. So what I'll do is go through the bill and present to you what the current bill is doing and hopefully why it's there. In Section 1, deals with an issue identified in statute and the interpretation from the Department of Law that they're only allowed to develop regulations that are required by statute. So my understanding is at times it has prohibited them to create regulations that they feel are necessary to administer the regulation of big game commercial or big game guides because the statute doesn't require them to develop those regulations.
Mr. Chair, may I have a question?
Representative Guy Greenberg.
I'd like a copy of that and any other legal opinions you have relating to the bill.
Representative Greenberg, through the chair, I don't have a copy of an opinion. That's just the way it was presented to me from the board, so I don't know if it was specific to general, if it was specific to a general regulation they were trying to do, but that was just the way it was a concern that was raised by the board that has had limited them.
May follow up a little more.
Follow up.
I'd appreciate it if you'd contact whoever told you that and tell you that at least this representative. I don't know if the full committee would like a copy of whatever we can get to. Maybe the full committee. Please provide either that or a statement that there is no such animal.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay. And I'd be glad to provide that anything that I can. Again, I'm operating on what was given to us, and so we went to legal services with that issue and said, and how do you resolve that? Section 2 creates a provision in statute for a retired Master Guide Outfitter license. Again, that came at the request of the board. The retired license doesn't provide any privileges to the license holder other than the ability to maintain in letterhead or on their wall or something that they're a Master Guide Outfitter. Section 3.
Another question, Representative Greenberg.
Maybe I didn't hear something. This doesn't give them any other privileges or rights other than to have a certificate and display that they have this status. Is that correct?
Representative Greenberg, through the chair, that is correct.
Thank you.
Continue, Mike.
Section 3 clarifies language that specifies that a guide outfitter, which is the second highest guide outfitter, and followed by a master guide outfitter above it, can provide the services of a Class A assistant guide, which is a lower level guide, under control or under employment with a different registered guide outfitter. Okay? So it's just allowing them to provide similar services they would hire someone to do, where they can actually perform those services in an area where they haven't been licensed as a registered guide outfitter. That's a practice that's currently in place, but if you read the existing statute, it's very unclear exactly what the intent might be there. So that was the reason that was done. Section 4 changes requirements of a registered guide outfitter to require them to be in the field supervising, participating in, and conducting a hunt as defined under regulations by the board, unless the Class A assistant guide is conducting the hunt. Again, that's clarification language from what's currently in statute. It's not a change in practice. It's just trying to clarify what's in statute.
Excuse me. We've been joined by Representative Pruitt. Go right ahead, Mike.
Thank you. Section 5 provides the board with the power to suspend or revoke a license if someone engaged in conduct involving unprofessionalism, moral turpitude, or gross immorality. And that was, again, at the request of the board, because if someone is involved in an activity that's detrimental to the industry or something of that nature, the board has no disciplinary power over the members of that profession. Section 7 authorizes.
Representative Grunberg has a question.
When you and I talked, and when I talked with my staff, we didn't really look at Section 5. And we have, and I'm involved in another bill entirely, where they're talking about terms, not the same terms. But are the terms unprofessionalism, moral turpitude, or gross immorality defined somewhere? And the reason I'm asking that, Mike, is because the Alaska Supreme Court has held that when somebody is faced with the loss of a valuable license, and this would, I think, clearly fall within that category, they have due process rights, including in some cases the right to a jury trial. And that would also require that the terms be defined somewhere, either in statute or the common law. And moral turpitude is defined different ways, I think, in different areas. And unprofessionalism I have not seen defined. Gross immorality I don't recall seeing defined. Tell me, are these defined somewhere? If so, where?
Representative Greenberg, through the chair, not being a attorney myself, I would not feel that I'm necessarily qualified to try and answer that question directly.
Is there somebody going to be somebody on the line who can?
There, we do have someone from the Division of Law online. I do not know if they can answer that question specifically or not.
We'll so find out.
We can find out.
We have people from the Department of Law and from Legislative Council online, plus Alaska Wildlife Trooper online also.
Great.
Go right ahead, Mike.
Let's see. Section 6 changes penalties for certain violations from the board to allow discretion of the court. Under current statute, any game violation require that an individual is convicted of that holds a license, it requires the court to order the suspension of the license. And in the event, as I understand it, if there's a conviction for a minor offense, then there is no choice but to, at the minimum, suspend the license. And the minor offense could be a paperwork violation of some type that, for whatever reason, the person was prosecuted under. So it was a request to change that particular section so that it was a that the court had some discretion, and that would apply not only to state but federal wildlife laws. So if you, some of the issues that have happened in the state concerning federal wildlife on some of the rivers and that type of thing, if there was some event, they would have to suspend the license. And then finishing up, Section 7 authorizes the department to collect a fee for the new retired master guide outfitter. And Section 8 is a conforming language specifying that the holder of the retired license may not actually guide. And so that's what's in the bill. I'll be happy to answer any questions about the bill in general, but the legal questions I certainly will defer to individuals more qualified than I am.
Okay, Rebecca, does the committee have any questions of Mr. Pascal?
Yeah, I got one.
Representative Keller has a question.
Thank you. In Section 2, there's several amendments here ahead of us that basically change it from master guide, broaden it out to include regular guide license or assistant guide. Does the sponsor have any trouble with that? Those changes?
Representative Keller, through the chair. Now, all the amendments that I understand that are going to come before you, we have been working on, and we don't have any issue with any of them. In this particular case, as I wrote to have the bill, as I requested to have the bill drafted, I read at some point that it said master guide. That's the way I read it until maybe it was 2 days ago. Nobody ever said, oh, it's only for master guides, and so here we are needing to amend it to fix it.
We've got quite a few amendments today. Further questions, Mike? All right. Thank you very much for your presentation. And, yes, Representative Grunberg.
I've asked the staff to see if they can locate those definitions I was talking about. And I think that Jane and Miles are doing that now. But when the folks from Law and Ledge Legal are on the phone, I'm going to ask them not only that, but apparently these may be in regulations. And if they're in regulations and you have a suspension statute, that the key term is defined in regulation, I am going to be interested in knowing whether the department is, number one, authorized to put that into a regulation, or do we have to authorize them to do it? And number two, would it be an unconstitutional delegation of legislative authority to have the key term only defined in a reg, or do we have to put it in statute? I'm simply serving notice that I'm going to be asking those questions so the folks can think about it.
Okay, we're going to open up to public testimony, and here in the room we have some witnesses that wanted to come forward. Eddie Grasser from the regional representative SCI First for Hunters. Is Eddie here? Oh, he's on. He's not here. Okay.
A moment ago.
He stepped out. Paul Johnson. Big Game Commercial Services Board member is coming forward. Please place your name on and your affiliation on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
Yeah, welcome, committee. I'm Paul Johnson. I'm a registered guide, have been for over 35 years. I have the opportunity to sit on the Commercial Services Board and was on it before, and it was sunsetted, and afterwards I've been on for 7 years. My term's up shortly. We've to kind of explain things a little bit, I do want to say that on several of these issues, we used to have them. The statutes had the flexibility to give the board more authority. When it was changed over to statute, these things, of course, a lot of it got frozen. And to that comment, we waited a long time to see how we could work things before we came to the legislature to ask for some fixes. Our board members, so that you're aware, different than the old guide board, our board is made up of two guides, two transporters, two public private landholders, and one Board of Game member and two public folks. So there's nine members on this board. So it is not going to be rolled or pushed by a couple of guides under any circumstance. I am very much in support of this bill. It's something that we need to work with on the issue of gross immorality. Our statute limits are some fines, basically, at this point. We are frozen over issues that come up to us on dealing with some. Our industry is different than most, but most boards do have that section in them. That's not uncommon. And we used to have that there, and it's no longer there. As far as board authority goes, we have been told our attorney is Kevin Saxby. I don't know if Kevin's online today or not. But with that in mind, that is the issue, why that is there. The state troopers have worked with us on the issue of may, and that changed from shall. And as far as the function of allowing people who have been guiding a long time to have a recognized license that they can hang on the wall, and the department to receive some fees for that, is a respectable thing, and several boards also do that. It came forward by some very old cherished members in our industry, and we respected that and put that in there. I'm open to any questions that come along, and as you sort through this bill, I will be here, and if there's, after the public testimony, you need other to answer other questions, I'm more than willing to do that.
Like, we have a question from Representative Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Johnson, you said something about may and shall, but would you point us to the bill what you're referring to?
Well, it's in the section here where the court may order under 1 on line 5.
Page on that?
That would be page 3.
Page 3, line 5, huh?
Yeah. What's happened? What happens is if we end up with a piece of paperwork, the courts were forced into it. It caused a lot of problems with the troopers when they wanted to give a lighter fine, and bound their hands. Ended up in a lot of cost to the prosecutor for the state sorting these issues out and going back and forth. This is
Mr.
a,
Chair,
a cleanup
I
request.
I just didn't know where you were talking about. Okay. I understand. Thank you.
All right, further questions of Mr. Johnson from Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not a question so much as I'm hoping that when we get to amendments, we can call Mr. Johnson back up for his input on amendments.
You'll be available.
Fine to do that. I'll be here.
Thank
Very
you.
Good. And my phone will be off.
To answer some of these questions we've already had, we'll go to the line. Kevin Saxby, Department of Law, are you online? Kevin, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, place your name and affiliation on the record, and we're going to have some questions for you, I'm sure.
Kevin Saxby, Senior Assistant Attorney General, Department of Law, and I'm the Assistant AG that's assigned to advise the Big Game Commercial Service.
Okay, Representative Greenberg had a question for you right off the start here.
Yeah, Mr. Saxby, I appreciate your being on the line. You're an excellent attorney. Glad to have you here. My comments and questions relate to Section 5. Do you happen to have the bill in front of you, the D version?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
I'm sorry. We have version M, yes.
Version M?
We're on version D.
We're on version D, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got D also.
It's the okay, yeah, that's the version that's in front of us. It's the Resources Committee substitute. Are you with me?
Yes. Look at that now.
Okay. Section 5, line 29 on page 2 through line 1 on page 3. And I'm focusing on page 3, line 1. There are three terms: unprofessionalism, moral turpitude, gross immorality. I have been handed a copy of a resolution 12AAC 75.340. We've distributed that to the members of the committee, and they all have it in front of them. Mr. Saxby, would this be the definition in this regulation that would be looked to determine whether conduct was, quote, unprofessional, unquote?
Through the chair, when you asked that question, I ran out and got my computer. I'm actually testifying from the, I'm present in the middle of a board of game meeting, and I've gone into an adjacent room. And so I'm trying to look up the regulation you just referenced. If it is generally applicable to the Department of Commerce, then the answer to your question would be yes.
It is not. It is under professional ethics standards for guides, and this is entitled professional ethics standards for guides. And maybe we should not put you on the spot, but my question is going to be, and Mr. Chair, I am very agreeable to giving the Department of Law more time on this key thing, not trying to hold up the bill, Michael, but I think this is a key, absolutely key thing. I need to know what the definition is of unprofessionalism, moral turpitude, gross immorality, those three terms, and I need to know, number two, whether the board has current authority to adopt those things in regulations, or whether we need to, for example, amend Section 1 to give them authority to do so. And number three, would it be delegating legislative authority to the board that would be unconstitutional? Article 2, Section 1 says only the legislature may legislate. So those are the three questions I have, and they're absolutely essential to this bill, and that's why I'm asking. I'm sorry I didn't realize this before, and I'm looking at Michael on that. I'm trying to be sure that we're careful and proper here. And I've asked Mr. Chair, Mr. Saxby, do you want more time to answer my question?
Mr. Chair, I can answer several of those questions right now.
Go right ahead, Mr. Saxby.
If the board adopts the language in the bill that allows, I'm sorry, if the legislature adopts the language in the bill that allows the board to revoke license or moral turpitude, unprofessionalism, etc., then the board will have authority to adopt regulations that further define those terms, because the board already has the authority under its enabling statute to adopt regulations that are necessary under the chapter that governs it. So if you give it authority to revoke licenses for those terms, it will then, in some cases at least, be necessary for the board to further define them or set parameters on them. And existing language provides that authority. And I think that answers one of the questions at least.
Go right ahead, Representative Greenberg.
I'm looking at AS 08.54.600 sub A. Just give me a moment here. I'm not familiar with that statute. Okay. Sub A 6 says that the board shall, number 6, adopt procedural and substantive regulations required by this chapter. And your interpretation would be that they would therefore have the authority to define those terms, right?
Correct.
I would agree with that. I think that would do it. And then I guess we just need to know, for the record, if there are current definitions of those terms.
Mr. Saxby, do you have an answer for that question?
Mr. Chairman, that's what I've been looking for. I don't know right now if there is a generally applicable regulatory or statutory definition. What I do know is that these are terms that are common to other statutes that regulate professional licensees. The board, Big Game Commercial Services Board, was one of the narrow exceptions. Boards don't have that authority. So I'm certain that there is case law that
Mr. Chair,
Greenberg.
It would be grateful if you could just take a few minutes while we're still on this bill to give us a more complete answer, if you can, then we won't delay the bill, but at least we'll have something on the record about that. Thank you.
Further questions of Mr. Saxby? If you'd like to stay on the line, Mr. Saxby, we might end up coming back to you with maybe some more questions. I'm going to move on to Alpheus Bullard. Legislative Council, are you online here?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, place your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll ask you to answer some of these questions also.
For the record, my name name is Alpheus Bullard. I'm counsel with the legislature, and I'm available for your questions.
Representative Greenberg.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bullard, you heard the remaining question. Mr. Saxby's looking it up. Would you have a ready answer or be able to find a ready answer? Then I will ask whoever of you comes forward with an answer. I'll ask the other person to confirm or deny agreement with whatever the other one finds. Do you have an answer?
Through the chair, Representative Greenberg. Within the regulations adopted under Title 8, Chapter 54, and in the statutory definitions for that chapter, these terms aren't defined. I don't believe that they're defined either for Title 8 overall. I don't think that that is an impediment to the board adopting definitions for these terms. These are common terms, and these terms seem drawn from a similar provision for sanctions for pharmacists in Title 8, Chapter 80, Section 261, Paragraphs 8 and 14.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenberg.
Maybe for the record you could give us what those definitions are in the other statute, giving a statutory cite, so we have something in the record that shows that we have considered this issue and that there is something in the law that could be looked at by the board when it adopts regs. I see there is AAAC 75.340. That seems to cover the ethics situation, but I'm not sure. Mr. Bullard, I'd like your answer.
Through the chair, Representative Greenberg, even in the statutory section that pertains to pharmacy, these terms are not defined. They may be in the regulations for pharmacists, but what constitutes unprofessionalism in the realm of pharmacy would probably not be applicable to the present board. I think that it's not too great a grant of legislative discretion to grant the board the ability to adopt regulations defining what these terms mean for the purposes of Chapter 54.
Did you complete your answer? I was interrupting you. Please finish your answer once again.
That was, through the chair, Representative Greenberg, that was the conclusion of my answer.
Okay. Given that that is the way statutes in this state are already drafted, I will accept that. And just one question to Mr. Saxby. Sir, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Given that that is the practice in this state to leave it to regulations for definition, do you feel that you, as the Department of Law, would be able to defend this statute if it's challenged either civilly or in a quasi-criminal case? I'm talking about Section 5 of the bill. Would the Department of Law have trouble defending that if they said that that was beyond the scope of the agency's authority or vague or anything else? Would you have the ability, feel you could defend that?
Yes, I do. I agree with the legal advice that was just given, and I guess I'd just point out as a final closing that the standards that are in this bill are very similar to the standards that both Representative Greenberg and I are held to as attorneys, and we rely primarily on case law and court's interpretation of those terms and enforcing our own.
Thank you. That satisfies my inquiry on Section 5. Thank you both, gentlemen.
Any more questions from the committee for Mr. Bullard or Mr. Saxby?
If not, I would request that Mr. Saxby be excused to go back to the Board of Game.
Since there's no other questions for him at the present time, Mr. Saxby, if you have to get back to your meeting, I think that'd be all right with us. Mr. Bullard might stick around because we never know what we're going to run into with our amendments.
There's no other game in town for him.
Okay, I'm going to move on to Lieutenant Bernard Chastin. He's the Alaska Wildlife Trooper calling in from Anchorage.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Yes, please place your name and affiliation on the record, and we'd like to hear your testimony and probably answer a few questions also.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bernard. Leonard Chastain. I'm a lieutenant with the Alaska Wildlife Troopers. I'm also here with the Attorney General Kevin Saxby at the Fairbanks Board of Game meeting. I'm here mainly today to answer questions, and I can speak to portions of this if you'd like, or if you have questions, if you'd like.
All right. Let's see if we have anybody that has any questions for you. Lieutenant, I don't see any questions, so we're going to let you go back to the meeting also then. And thank you for being being available.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Also online to testify is Wayne Kubit. Wayne, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, place your name and affiliation on the record and we'll hear your testimony.
Yeah, I'm Wayne Kubit, pastor guide. I live in Wasilla. I'm representing myself. I support this bill. I worked hard on it to begin commercial services board meeting. I for sure support sections 1 and 2 and 5 through 7. I've seen a lot of amendments to section 3 and 4, which are the sections that have concerned me most, and I really haven't had enough time to know whether I support them now or not, so I'll just take a neutral stance at this point in time. I really supported the original stance, and the industry just has a lot of difficulty understanding what we're supposed to do. And you got to read sections 0854, 610, which deal with registered guide license, 0854, 620, which deal with Class A, and 0854, 630, that deals with assistance. And they use a little different language throughout, so it's just hard to understand. So, you know, one of my main points is to be able to understand after it's written and not have it get more confusing. And I'll stop with that. Thank you.
Questions, Mr. Kubit? Hearing none, thank you very much for your testimony. We'll come back to the room wanting to testify. We have a Thor Stacy, Alaska Professional Hunters, listed here on my sheet. Is he here? No? Yes? Would you like to come forward and testify?
I was just making myself available for questions.
Okay. I don't think we have anybody. Yeah, Representative Grunberg might have a question of you. Come
sir,
forward.
No, you don't have to come up. You're with whom?
The Alaska Professional Hunters Association.
I see. You're employed by the association.
Yes, sir.
No questions. I just wanted to ensure I understood. We may ultimately have a question, but thank you for coming.
All right. Okay, that was Thor. Paul Johnson. We also have Don Haberger from the Division of Corporations, Businesses, and Professional Licensing is here if we have any questions of him. I don't see any at this time. Okay, is there anybody? Yes, Representative Keller.
Let the record reflect that I saw his surprise when you pronounced it correctly.
I usually really slaughter names. Okay. Is there anybody else in the room or online that would like to testify on this particular bill? Seeing none, we're back to the committee. And House Bill 229 has several amendments. Representative Holmes, you have an amendment. We've got five of them, actually. So.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We'll start with D.3, which we'll call amendment number one. Okay. Would you like to move
Mr.
that?
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number one.
I'll object for discussion purposes. Okay. Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This refers to a section that creates the retired master guide licenses. And at the time that this is section 2 of the bill, that currently as written is limited these retired master guide outfitter licenses under the bill as written are only available to people who have attained the rank of master guide outfitter. But there are also people who are Class A or other levels who would also like, after a lifetime in this field, no pun intended, to be able to have these. And so my amendment simply broadens that and allows all classes of licensed guides to be eligible for these for this status, not just Master Guide Outfitters.
I forgot to close public testimony on this House bill, so I'll close public testimony at this time. Okay, questions of sponsor of Amendment Number 1? All right, I remove my objection. Does anybody object into Amendment 1? Okay, we've adopted Amendment Number 1. Number 2 is labeled D5, and it deals with the same same section. Representative Keller's got that one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Great minds flow in the same veins, maybe. But I will withdraw Amendment Number 2 because Amendment Number 1 it does a very good job.
All right, we don't have Amendment 2 before us. Next is the Amendment Number D.2, which we'll call Amendment Number 3. Representative Holmes?
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment Number 3.
I'll object for discussion purposes. Go right ahead, Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And while I'm presenting this, if we could have Paul Johnson come up and speak to the next two amendments, I would appreciate
this
it.
This one also? Yes.
Both this one and the next one?
Okay.
Would be. Mr. Chairman, this is in a... this is the section that allows people who are licensed as master guides to serve as Class A assistant guides in areas where they aren't licensed as the master guide. And the intent of this amendment is to give broad discretion to the board to determine what the qualifications are. What it says is that that the person serving as a Class A assistant guide should be able to demonstrate to the satisfaction of the board adequate knowledge of an experience in the game management unit in which they're going to be serving. Now, normally speaking, my understanding is, and Mr. Johnson can correct me if I'm wrong, people who are just Class A assistant guides have to pass certifications and tests to prove that they are qualified. The people we're talking about here already have a very high level. They've passed a whole lot of certifications. We're not asking them to go through the certification for the separate game management unit in which they're now looking to work as a Class A guide. We're not looking for anything like that. We're just giving the board some discretion to say, okay, yes, you actually have adequate knowledge of this area to lead hunt.
Paul Johnson is back up at the table. Mr. Johnson, she wanted you to comment on this.
Yeah, I think this is workable for the board and can be readily dealt with and without problem. And it gives us to ensure that we do have public safety and natural resources and local proximity problems taken care of. We can deal with it. Nicely done.
Representative Holmes, do you have any questions further of Mr. Johnson?
I don't, Mr. Chairman, not unless
any questions? Don't leave. I think you're going to be needed on the next one also. I'll withdraw my objection on Amendment Number 3. Does anybody have an objection? Hearing none.
Oh, don't go away. Oh, you're okay.
Hearing none, we'll move on to Amendment Number 4, which is labeled D.4. Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment Number 4.
I'll object for discussion purposes. Representative Holmes.
And Mr. Chairman, before I go into this, could I make a one-word amendment to my own amendment?
An amendment to the amendment, okay.
I would like to add, after consultation with Mr. Johnson and Mr. Stacy and the bill sponsor, I would like to move Amendment Number 1 to Amendment Number 4. On line 7, before the text, before the word in, add the word primarily. So line 7 would read, primarily in the field supervising and participating in the contracted hunt.
Is there any objection to the amendment to the amendment? Okay, we're back to the Amendment 4 as amended, and I still have my objection, so Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to explain it. This is clarifying language. We have spoken extensively with a number of people, and the way it was written was unintentionally maybe a little bit confusing. I'm looking at the original language is on page 2 of the bill, starting on line 24. Well, starting on line 21, would say a registered guide outfitter, her contracts for a guided hunt shall be in the field supervising and participating in the contracted hunt and conducting the hunt unless the board adopts regulations permitting blah, blah, blah. It's a little confusing as to whether or not the regulations refer to supervising, participating, and conducting or just conducting. So this is a clarifying amendment, Mr. Chairman, breaking it up into two sentences to make it clear. So that we know what is modifying what, and the last thing we want to do in this area is end up in litigation because people don't understand and give the troopers ambiguous language to work with. I added the word primarily in that first sentence there because after consultation with Mr. Johnson and others, what we really don't want very clearly is for a master guide to have to leave the hunt temporarily, say go in, leave the field, go take meat. We were discussing the problem of there aren't freezers out in the field. You might need to leave to take some meat to a village. All of a sudden, you're no longer in the field. We don't want that. The idea is that the master guide should primarily be out in the field. They shouldn't be sitting behind a desk in Anchorage. They should be out in the field for the most part. The word primarily is meant to say that this is not a hard and fast every moment of every day.
We'll move back to Mr. Johnson. Do you have any comments here?
No, I think this clarifies and should help everybody through the process. Just so it's clear, this portion of the bill would give us time to work with this, correct?
And Mr. Chairman, I believe we're going to have a subsequent amendment that will have an effective date issue that will address the concern, because obviously it will take the board some time to actually write these regulations, so we don't want them to go into effect until they've had the regulations written. So that will be, my understanding, Mr. Chairman, a subsequent amendment that will address that question.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it is, when we get the regulations done, that it would become in effect rather than a date.
Okay, I'll remove my objection. Is there any further objection to amendment number 4? As amended.
As amended.
Okay, hearing none, amendment number 4 is adopted. And I would like to move conceptual amendment number 5. It creates section 9 of the bill and creates an effective date of April 1st, 2013, which is prior to the hunting season. So I move conceptual amendment number 5.
And Mr. Chairman, object for discussion?
Yes.
That would be an effective date for the entire, is the intent for it to be an effective date for the entire bill or simply for one of the subsection?
I assumed it was the entire bill. Yes.
Oh, is it the entire bill? Is that correct? Or? Maybe the bill sponsor?
Yes.
I just want to make sure that I'm
absolutely
neutral on the issue, I think. I just want to be sure.
Or Mr. Johnson? Does that create a problem?
Well, it doesn't create a problem. We've waited a long time for a few of these, especially a portion. The supervising portion I can understand for Department of Law, Public Safety, having that cleared up, and the retired guide license opportunity and so forth will be going into our biennials by that time. And for some of those folks, after they're lost their license or don't renew their license for a period of time, I'd like to see those items moved along. So I don't know if you can do that in this bill or it has to be the entirety of the
we
bill.
Can.
We can
do that.
Should we take
we'll do a brief at ease. Okay, we're back on the record. You withdraw your.
That was yours.
Yeah, I'll withdraw my.
I'll withdraw my objections.
Your objections withdrawn, and I'll withdraw my conceptual amendment, and I will now make another conceptual amendment, which will be
number six
conceptual amendment. Would be that in section 9, sections 3, 4, and 5 of this act will take effect April 1st of 2013. And Section 10, except as provided in Section 9 of this Act will take effect immediately under AS 01.10.070C. So that separates it out.
I'll object briefly for discussion.
Objection for Representative Holmes for discussion. Mr. Johnson, does this clarify?
I think that's what is workable and real helpful.
Okay. Representative Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just so this is crystal clear, we can use the text on D1 as the basis.
Yep.
And it would look the same as D1, except on line 9, it would say sections, that's plural, 3, 4, and 5
right.
of this act take effect April 1 of 2013.
Correct.
And that way we also have the title change in here too.
Oh, correct.
That's
so you need
right.
The title, you need the conforming title change in yours.
Okay.
Conceptual. Yeah. Since it's conceptual, good.
Conceptual? Okay. Does that work?
We can label this 6 just like this.
Yeah, this would be number 6. All right. Are we right?
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Chairman, with that, I will remove my objection.
Is there any other objection to Amendment Number 6? Hearing none, Amendment Number 6 is adopted. Okay. Now, we are back to the committee on the entire bill.
Yeah, just a quick moment. I'd like to thank this committee very much for your efforts.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for being here and giving us a hand.
Yes.
Are there any other questions from committee members for the sponsor? Hearing none. Any further discussion on the bill by the committee? Representative Grunberg.
Yes, just for the record, I would appreciate it if Mike would come up and just for the record state that the sponsor agrees with the bill CS as we have it before us.
Mr. Pascal, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Michael Pascal, staff for Representative Feige. Representative Grunberg through the chair. As far as I'm aware, the sponsor would have no objections to these changes. They've been discussed all morning this morning, and I did present them to him prior to coming in, and he was had no objections.
Thank you. I just wanted that for the record.
Any further questions for the sponsor? Any further discussion by the committee on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, just briefly.
Yeah, yep. One comment.
Yes.
I just think it's looking like a good bill, and I think it was a good collaborative process getting here, and I want to thank Mr. Stacey, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Grasser, and the committee, and Michael for all their work, as well as James in my office.
Yes, I want to thank everybody who was involved. It looked like a pretty good collaborative effort by a lot of people involved. So.
Jane and a bunch of others.
Very good. Okay, I'd like to ask for a motion to have this move from committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to report HB 2239 version LS0764 Delta as amended with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note with it from committee. A good bill.
Any objections?
Thanks.
Hearing none, HB 229 will move on from the committee, and we'll make sure everybody sticks around to sign that. This concludes our business today. Our next week's schedule will be Monday, March 5th at 1 p.m. here in this room. We'll have Senate Bill 173, which is the 2012 Revisers Bill, and we'll have House Bill 359, Sex Crimes Testimony by Video Conference. And then there will be no meeting next Wednesday, March 7th, or Friday, March 9th. And with that, it is 1:57 p.m., and we are now adjourned.